Welcome to Ask Glenn, everyone. I have Jason with me, and I'm going to let Jason take it away and start sharing his story. So welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Wynn. I'm excited to talk today.
And Jason, what is why did you start your company? Why did you do Made in America? Why did you What started it all?
Yeah, so I've got a slightly different story than a lot of people. I started my first company when I was 15 years old, but I kind of have to frame where what it was like then, and why manufacturing, and kind of why I went that way. I grew up in a factory household. My father worked graveyard for 28 or 29 years for the same company there, and this company, even though my father worked in one of their most profitable plants, the toxicity between the management and the manufacturing employees was so incredibly thick and tumultuous that, frankly, that the workers were it was almost borderline abuse how they would treat their people. So we got to see that from our fa from the our eyes looking at our father. And in the last 6 or 7 years that he worked there, he got laid off just about as many times because the ownership of the plant kept on changing, and they were buying and selling and moving, and the what that causes in a community or in a home, we saw firsthand. So my brother and I started our first manufacturing company. As I said, I was 15, and he was 20, and really with a vision of we can do this different. It doesn't have to be like that. And frankly, it throughout most of American history, it wasn't like that in American manufacturing. So we really doubled down and said, hey, we're going to build these manufacturing companies, and we continue to build them and then buy some over the years. And about a year ago, we decided to do it at a very different pace. So with MRCA, we came in as a manufacturing company with the primary goal of making sure people are taken care of and that the legacy of companies is taken care of, because we saw what that was like when a factory is changing in a community. So we buy legacy US manufacturing companies and then help take them to the next level, but also enrich the workers' lives as much as we possibly can.
So basically, what you're saying is let's put all these companies back in the US. Let's help the workers out in manufacturing and let's eliminate the Chinese marketplace. As we all know, everything comes from China, and Jason is trying to change that.
So, and I think there's a bit of a sometimes a bit of a fallacy there. Is there American manufacturing is alive and well, and it's growing rapidly. Is not everything is from China anymore, and actually more and more what we're seeing is American-made products that a lot of people don't even realize are American-made yet, because that transition's been happening for the last about 10 years, 10, 15 years, to really more and more things are being done in the US. And this isn't only being done by American companies. So Fisker Automotive just teamed up with Foxconn, and they're opening a facility in Ohio to make car parts. So there's a very it's alive and well, and there's a ton of products that we use every day that a lot of people don't realize are American-made products, and that they and there are a lot of the brands that we know and love and trust, and they've had that ability to stay resilient in the US.
But why aren't we? What's the stigma with building in the US versus in China? Is it cheaper cost of labor, number one? Or why aren't we getting things back built in the US?
It takes time to break stigmas. So there was a point in history which, because labor was so much cheaper in low wage countries, that we built this locked in belief that a lot of people have that things are automatically cheaper overseas. And what's happened in the last 15 to 20 years in the US, just like everything else in our economy, automation and new tools in the internet and how machinery talks to itself and to work has made it so labor is no longer the number one driver of cost. So we've been able to innovate our way out of the fiscal that fiscal difference. Oftentimes now it is actually more fiscally affordable to produce in the US, and there's a financial benefit to actually producing in the US. But there is a stigma that a lot of people have, especially if you're not in the manufacturing industry, that oh, automatically it's gonna be more expensive if it's American made.
Yeah.
And that's just it's simply not the truth anymore. It was for a while that there was a high likelihood that if it had a lot of labor and it was going to be, but it's the innovation has changed just like in every other aspect of life. Innovation has changed that formula, and it is now fiscally viable in the US. And it's just remembering that it. How much innovation has really happened in the world in the last 10, 15 years. And if you think about it, a lot of people who were in school, even as late as the 90s, your teacher was telling you the whole time, you need to learn long division because you're not going to have a calculator every day. Well, now we have a calculator every day. Every aspect of our lives has changed with innovation. And what a lot of people don't realize is manufacturing actually was one of the areas that changed the most.
Yeah, the robots to manual to put together the Amazon boxes have come into play. The manufacturing to use machinery within the manufacturing plants to put the shrink wrap on the boxes. And so technology, you guys, has helped more times than not about when we talk about innovation, it's more times than not, we are looking at these Apple iPhones in the palm of our hands. Well, they're not necessarily coming out of China anymore. They're coming out of the US. And with the chip shortage, they're coming out of every which way. Every which way is helping the Apple iPhone get better and better.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that innovation, as you said, has touched everything. And a lot of people on the manufacturing in the manufacturing world, they have stuck in their head when they think of a factory, a Charles Dickens dirt floor, grease being thrown everywhere. That's not the case anymore. If you look at the new Tesla factories, they're white floors, brightly lit, safety mechanisms everywhere. It's a whole different world.
Yes. So it's a whole different world we're dealing with. And since the 90s, it's become even more and more thanks to innovation of things, innovation of science, innovation of machinery within the factories, and innovation of technologies. I mean, you could dial up on a screen what you want to be printing out, 3D printing, and it will happen.
Yeah.
And so, how did you guys do during the pandemic? Did you guys lose any revenue, or did you guys stay stable, or did you guys, how did you guys do during the
So
pandemic?
the pandemic for the manufacturing industry in general, and I talked to a ton of manufacturers in the US at a time. Ended up actually being the catalyst that was necessary for a massive migration back to American manufacturing. So we've touched on it already that because of innovation, because of changes in the world, it had years ago, it became fiscally affordable to produce in the US again. And it was time for it to happen. The problem is those beliefs and those stigmas against producing in the US were very deep ingrained. And a lot of sourcing managers, a lot of OEMs, they were concerned that even though the data was saying working in the US was fiscally stable, a lot of people were afraid to try it because they were so used to producing in low-wage countries. Well, enter COVID, and a lot of the world shuts down, and a lot of supply chain managers in the US had to go searching for American alternatives to their manufacturing sources because they couldn't get things in and out of countries easily. Well, that catalyst, when people finally went and tried to produce in the US again, a lot of OEMs, a lot of supply chain managers were very pleasantly surprised to find out that the US was a very viable market to make their product. And a lot of those products have not ever gone back outside the American borders since then. So the pandemic really acted as the catalyst to force people to try to produce in the US again. So pretty much every manufacturer I talk to in the US right now, they are so booked because their clients are bringing everything back into the US because as soon as they tried it, they realized it worked. So that's really been the big driving factor is more than anything else, COVID, it catalyzed and it made people test a theory that they'd been reluctant to test. And that theory was that they could produce in the US and still maintain the price and everything else that they had in low-wage countries.
So it really didn't affect anyone in the manufacturing industry. It affected it actually when we all got back to work. It made the manufacturing industry better because people were bringing stuff back in, importing stuff back into the US and helping the US economy.
And I'm talking to a lot of OEMs that they're saying, hey, we want to look even more back into the US. Like it's been an interesting review. And to say that nobody was hurt by it, and of course not, it was the whole world had rough years because things were changing all the time and getting materials has been difficult because you don't, it's just, it hasn't been a smooth ride, but the beautifully positive, bright side of it all is it finally required people to break that belief that producing in the US wasn't viable. And once they tested that, the American manufacturing industry is it's growing beautifully because people finally started to drop those false beliefs away.
Yep, well, as I was going to say, even though it was a challenge on everyone, it was a blessing in disguise because now that we're coming out of the chip shortages and everything else, COVID has actually been a blessing in disguise. And as we sit here today, you guys, we're doing this on Zoom. Zoom actually stepped up. Zoom was one of the companies that stepped up during the pandemic and said, hey, we gotta do something, we gotta put security measures in place. So I think that the human society has really looked at what is going on, and those who could stepped up and helped.
Yeah, and I think that there's a big lesson in all of this for anything in business is every challenge ends up becoming an opportunity for growth. And if you can reframe challenges and hard moments in business as, hey, I'm learning something, or something's developing, or so that pain can turn into growth and excitement.
Exactly. Now, where can people find you? Where can people get a hold of you if they want to get involved with you and what you're doing to help companies? And where can the people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the best place if you're wanting to follow us is LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn/MRCA. If you are interested in investing with us or anything else that we're doing, or if you want to get time on my personal calendar or any of the other general partners for MRCA, MRCA.net. We have links there that you can actually set up direct time with us. We'll talk about anything, whether it's business questions. If you want to talk about you've got a question about your company or a company you think about selling, or you want to talk about a cookie recipe. We are very, very much full transparency company. We leave those links on there that get dedicated time with us. So that is the best place to reach out, MRCA.net or on LinkedIn, and it's just LinkedIn/MRCA.
And we'll put those in the show notes, you guys. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode with Jason. And I hope you guys learned a lot to break the stigma about how things are built ne necessarily in both China and the US. But I did not realize that the US manufacturing industry is coming back, and that's why I brought Jason on to talk about the, well, someone else did on my behalf, but I want to support the US economy best I can. So there we go. So if you guys want to reach out to Jason MRCA on LinkedIn on MRCA.com would be best bet, and we'll have everything in the show notes. Thanks, you guys. Bye, you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.